It's a family business. Well, that's what my father says. He was running the inn at Bethlehem before I was even born. So when he opened up a new inn in the big city of Jerusalem, he left me behind to run his place in Bethlehem. He still owns this place. I just run it for him, while he stays in Jerusalem where the real money is. Of course, I get my share of the profit here, but most of the business goes to Jerusalem, especially during the festival times, like the Passover season right now. Still, if things get busy enough, all the inns in Jerusalem generally fill up, and I get some of the overflow. I don't usually have many vacancies this time of year, so I guess I shouldn't really complain. Oh, by the way, though, if you're ever around my father, don't say anything about vacancies in Bethlehem during the busy season, or he'll tell you his famous story about the time a king was born in his stable here. It's a family legend.
In my family, there have always been many stories told. Stories about angels and magi and prophecies.
An angel appeared to shepherds at night, telling them the Messiah, the king, was born in the town of David. The whole sky was lit by the glory of God, and then a multitude of angels singing praises. The shepherds immediately headed for Bethlehem to see the baby and his parents.
They were just a poor couple with no place to stay but a stable. But a gang of shepherds come along that night, claiming angels had told them that the heir to the throne of David had been born. That's what my father told me.
My uncle Nathan often told this story to all of us. All my brothers and sisters and cousins have heard it. He says it's absolutely true, and we know it is, because he was one of the shepherds that the angels appeared to, and so were my Uncle Joseph and my Uncle Saul. They all went to Bethlehem and saw the baby. Our family has always been shepherds. My grandfather, my father, and all my uncles were shepherds.
I don't know how it is where you come from, but in this country, we don't even allow shepherds to testify in court. They're not the most highly respected people. But at least that story gives my father a real good excuse whenever I complain about having to stay in Bethlehem. He says to me, "How can you complain when you're overseeing the birthplace of the Messiah?"
Even though we're only shepherds, all my relatives know that we matter to God. And we all love each other because we all know that God considers each of us important. God considers shepherds to be just as important as anybody else because God sent his angels to us to announce the coming of his Savior.
Some very important, wealthy people came to see Jesus. A caravan of the most highly respected wise men came from the distant They announced that they had seen his sign in the stars, foretelling the birth of the King of the Jews. Another story I heard was that when Jesus was newly born, and the parents took him to Jerusalem to be consecrated, there is an old man in the temple whose name was Simeon. He prophesied that their son would someday bring salvation to all Israel. And to the Gentiles as well.
So this week, the Savior of the world entered Jerusalem. He was riding a donkey, Father said, and the crowds were all around him saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Father is convinced it is the same person who was born in his stable. The old man got so excited that he left his mother and sisters in charge of everything, regardless of the Passover season, and rushed over here to tell me to put up a sign saying that this inn was the birthplace of a great king. He said it would be great for business, but I'm not really sure.
We saw the king riding a colt through the city, and all the people were spreading their coats on the road and cutting down palm branches for him. And everyone was proclaiming, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of David."
Simeon was also supposed to have said to Mother, "A sword will pierce your heart also." I have no understanding of what that meant. I'm not sure I want to know.
The trouble is, this donkey rider is controversial. I've heard a lot of talk about him. The authorities don't believe he's any Messiah, and they're out to get him. It could be very dangerous advertising your loyalty to this king.
You know, he was never a king to me. He was just my brother, Jesus. I played with him and did the chores with him, and he didn't seem like anyone special. I think my mother believed in many of the stories about her firstborn son. And at first, the entire family encouraged him in his career as a teacher. He was performing miracles, so there seemed to be something very valid there. But in time, it went too far. He had absolutely no time for us. Multitudes of people began following him, virtually worshiping him. He finally lost all comprehension of reality. For his own good, we tried to seize him, my brothers and I, but we couldn't even get close to him. And now, the authorities are determined to kill him.
Ah, I can't stand the sound of those nails. How could they do it? How could they nail the king to a cross? How could God let it happen if Jesus is supposed to be the Savior?
My mother had to watch him die. At least he fulfilled his duty to her as the firstborn. He made sure she would be taken care of. He placed her in the care of one of his disciples. I'm the secondborn, but I guess he didn't trust his own brothers.
There had been rumors about him rising from the dead. So the authorities sent a guard of soldiers to stand watch over the body, in case it was stolen. And they sealed up the tomb with an enormous stone. My father and I haven't spoken to each other since.
That stone closed off a lot of things for my family. It closed off people's hopes and dreams and a lot of cherished expectations about what God has supposedly promised to do.
I heard that some women want to anoint him with spices as soon as the Sabbath is over. But how will they get past the guards? How could they even roll the stone away? It would take an earthquake to move it.
Whoa.
An earthquake!
Lord, God of heaven, I thank you for raising your Savior from the dead and revealing your power and truth to all Jerusalem and all Israel. And I especially thank you for the salvation of my family and for the fact that even when we completely failed to recognize your son, you chose our inn to be his birthplace. We didn't think we needed him to save us from our sins. To us, he was only a baby lying in a manger. And we always used to hear a lot of religious teachings about the Christ, but it was only a social custom to us. It was a tradition we had been raised on. But we never thought it really had anything to do with us, even if it was true. Even my father, with all his zeal, never understood before that your Christ was sent to earth to change our lives and to change our family, to make each one of us different and new.
Everything seems so new. Everything I remember seems different now. Childhood memories keep coming back to me, and I could see how Jesus was always different. He was so quiet and unassuming. I just never noticed that he was perfect. Try as I might, I cannot remember a single thing he ever did wrong. He was perfect enough to pay for the sins of every person on earth. All my life I took Jesus for granted. I always thought I knew him, but I never understood what he really wanted for me and for our whole family.
I always loved to hear the stories of the Messiah from other people in my family. But it's completely different now that I've come to know the Messiah personally. For myself.
He came to earth as an ordinary man, grew up, and lived among us.
He gave his life for us all.
He rose from the dead so that each of us could come to know him as our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords.
My friends, the Christ is no longer just a tradition to us. He is not merely someone we were taught to believe in as children. He is a real person to us now, someone we have met, someone whom we know, for he has changed our lives. Because of him, every family on earth can come to know the love of God. And we can all be united in Jesus Christ, our source of eternal life. Let us continue to tell the stories of his birth and of his life. The stories will always be new, because the Christ will always be alive.